This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Brother Mona Muhammad coming at you with another episode of Hangout, where we literally hang out. And we have a great guest with us, one of my good friends, and it's an honor to finally have him on our show. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sheikh Naveed Aziz.
We're here today actually in Malaysia. You can't tell, but we're like on a beautiful resort right now. There's a beach behind us. Sheikh Saad Taslim is actually hiding on the other side of the camera. Maybe we'll get him to do a quick cameo on film. But we were talking a little bit about motivation. Yeah. And what I've noticed myself, you know, dealing with a lot of young Muslims and seeing Muslims in general, is that a lot of times we kind of lack ambition. For many of us, we don't really think about, you know, going to take whatever we do to the next level. We're very right. satisfied with kind of being mediocre and being, you know, kind of like B plus, maybe C kind of people.
Right.
Can you give us some ideas and tips and thoughts as to how do we motivate ourselves? How do we make ourselves feel as though we want to become the best in whatever capacity, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being a taxi cab driver, whether it's being right. a student? How do we make ourselves feel like we should become the best in whatever it is that we do?
Okay, fantastic. So I think there's two topics we need to discuss over here. One is the concept of ihsan, and the second is the concept of motivation within itself. When we're talking about ihsan, it's talking about doing whatever you're doing at the highest possible level. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ gave the perfect example, that it is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you can see Him. And even though you can't see Him, He can see you. So you tie this into your day-to-day life. It's like you're working at your job, your boss is walking by. When your boss walks by, what happens to you? You naturally sit up straight, your body stiffens up, you pretend like you're working even though you're not. You know, you want to put on a show for your boss, right? Similarly, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, you want to be performing at your highest level possible. So that's one element of it. Number two, in terms of having high and lofty ambitions, this is like a problem that is plaguing our ummah. Mm. You know, we're naturally told that, look, you guys are backwards, you guys are barbaric, you're not going anywhere in life, have low goals, low ambitions. And, you know, that's where we set our standards. That as long as I'm doing the absolute minimum, as long as I'm getting by, you know, life is going to be good. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, right? Clearly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, He said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa," that I'm creating a khalifa on this planet, right? This is someone that's supposed to lead the people, take them on, and, you know, create one generation after another of practicing Muslims. Now, what are the type of people that we're looking with? A beautiful example, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was one day with some of his companions, and they're inside an empty room, right? He asks these people, you know, if you could fill this room up with anything, what would you fill it up with to give out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One person says gold, another one says jewels, another one says silver, and so on and so forth. So they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you could fill this room up with anything, what would you fill it up and send it out with? He said, radiallahu anhu, I would fill it up with the likes of Abu Ubaid al-Amr ibn al-Jarrah and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and this is what I would send out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teaching us the value of human resources, that we are the most valuable commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on this planet. And if we don't value us, no one's going to value us. If we don't set high goals for ourselves, we're not going to get anywhere in life, right? If you have an exam coming up, if you're not aiming for 100%, you're setting up yourself for failure, right? You aim for 60, you'll probably end up hitting 40 or 50. You aim for 100, you end up hitting 80 or 90, right? Similarly with life, if you don't have direction, if you don't have high ambitions, your life's going to be terrible.
It's funny enough, because I call this kind of like the practicing people's disease, right? Because you see there's a lot of brothers and sisters, like they're practicing Islam to the best of their abilities. They're praying, they're fasting, they're giving zakat. But they just don't, I don't know, they just don't have the ambition to go to the next level, right? And it comes to career, I'm talking when it comes to career, when it comes to family, when it comes to leaving a legacy. It's like they don't feel as though they need to do anything more than the basics, right? And so going back to this idea of motivation, how do we become motivated? I mean, there's a lot of people who maybe they feel like, yeah, I want to change, I want to become better, I want to take myself to the next level.
Right.
Can you give us some tips or ideas or thoughts as to how do we actually become motivated to make those changes in our lives?
Fantastic. So just to give a bit of background on this, you know, general psychology theory talks about the carrot and stick, right?
Okay.
Where a carrot and stick is used to motivate a donkey. That a stick is used and a carrot is put at the end of it and it's put in front of the donkey. And the donkey keeps thinking that, you know, one day I will eventually reach that carrot even though he's progressing at the exact same speed, he never reaches it. Mm-hmm. That, so that he's being motivated by positivity through that carrot, and through negative reinforcement, the use of the stick, that if he does something bad, then the master actually beats him at that time, right? So that's the general trend that has been taking place. Now, what we eventually learned is that human beings aren't motivated by external factors. You start people giving money and try motivating them with money, they'll be motivated for a short amount of time, it's going to run out. You try motivating them through fear by telling them, you know, I'll cut your paycheck, you know, I'll take your house away or whatever like that, that's not going to work. Mm. Motivation needs to come from within. Mm. So you need to believe in the cause that you believe in, and the reward that needs to come, it needs to be self-satisfaction, and it needs to be gratitude, it needs to be happiness, and that's where people will truly be motivated. And that is why in Islam, this concept of eternal happiness, it's tied in with Jannah. That this world is a world of trial, it's a world of difficulty, but we're aiming for eternal happiness in the hereafter. Okay. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use that to motivate us? Is that we get these glimpses of happiness in this life to remind us that that eternal happiness is there. Mm. Number two, is that when you're trying to make change in your life, it's always important to create a sense of urgency for yourself. Why do you need to make this change, right? Mm. An individual that, you know, is very, very sick, he goes and sees the doctor's like, look, if you don't take care of yourself, you know, you're going to die tomorrow. Then the person takes it seriously because he's like, look, I don't want to die. Mm. That similar sense of urgency is what needs to be created for us by using, again, Jannah and Jahannam. You need to think about, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Jannah? Do you want to go to Jahannam? You're not going to get to Jannah by sitting on your butt all day, not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just committing sins day and night, right? So you need to get yourself, you know, proactive. Number three, the importance of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can never be overrated and overstated. In fact, I believe it's understated. Mm. Every step of the way in your journey, whether you're up, whether you're down, you need to be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You notice this with Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells Musa alayhi salam, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. That go to Fir'aun because he's become transgressive and oppressive in the lands. Mm. The first thing that Musa alayhi salam did, he says, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. This dua in itself teaches us so much that Musa alayhi salam's natural reaction, let me call out to the one that can help me, that can protect me, that can save me, and that can help me achieve my goal. What's really beautiful about this is that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him on this mission, don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have helped him and saved him anyways?
Yeah.
So why did Musa alayhi salam make dua? Because that is what we do as the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show our weakness to attract the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show our dependence to attract the independence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show our insufficiency to get that sufficiency from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. So making dua. The next point, creating a support system for yourself, right? Musa alayhi salam, in this very story in Surah Taha, he says, وَجَعَلْ وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِ هَارُونَ أَخِي. That create for me or send for me someone from my own family who is going to help me in this task. أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي. Grant me strength through him. وَأَشْرِكُ فِي أَمْرِي. And let him partake in this mission of mine. You know, we have this general statement that you have a moment of happiness with a friend, it's double the happiness. Mm. You have a moment of sadness with a friend, it's half the sadness. That's what friends do for one another. Mm. So you need to surround yourself with people that believe in you, people that are positive, people that are optimistic, and people that are going to help you get through your mission. Mm. Constantly we surround ourselves with people that don't believe in us. They're like, you know, even just as a joke, they're like, you can't do that, you're going to fail. You know, why are you even trying?
Just haters.
Exactly, yeah, just haters. You can't surround yourself with these people. Mm. You know, alhamdulillah, very early on when I came back from Medina, one of the very first things that someone I look up to told me, don't let your critics become your CEOs. Mm. Someone that's constantly criticizing, you can't let them dictate your life.
Right.
You're going to live a life of fear the whole time. Mm. One thing I would comment on over here is the element of fear. And this is what we see in the story of Musa alayhi salam. That Musa alayhi salam, he now has Harun. They're both talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, "Inna nakhafa an yafrut alayna aw yatgha." That we're afraid that either Fir'aun will overpower us or he's going to transgress against us. Mm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in the very next verse, "La takhafa inni ma'akuma asma'u wara." That don't have any fear because I'm with you, watching and seeing and hearing everything that is happening. So let us understand fear for a second. Fear is a human trait, it is a human characteristic, and we need it. Because you'll notice that when we become afraid, our adrenaline rushes through our body, it allows us to do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do, mm-hmm. right? Now, how does this tie in to what we want to achieve in life? The fear we have is usually the fear of the creation. And this is what paralyzes human beings. This is what prevents them from taking actions in their lives. fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it enables us. So what we want to achieve and aim for is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Briefly touching upon the concept of fear of failure. I was reading a book very recently by Seth Godin. It's called Tribes. Okay. And in it, he talks about why are people afraid of failure? And he says, in reality, people aren't afraid of failure. What they are afraid of is criticism. Mm. They don't, because when you actually fail, you actually learn something. You benefit. Okay, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't do it again. I should be doing it a different way, right? But what people are actually afraid of is their friends, their family, you know, people that they associate with, looking down upon them and criticizing them and judging them, right? Mm. They fear judgment. Now, when you can eliminate that from your life, you'll probably eliminate the most paralyzing element of fear, which is the fear of criticism, where you need to decide whose criticism will you value and benefit from, and whose criticism do you definitely need to ignore.
But is it fair for us, just sorry to cut in, but is it fair for us to say that, you know, we don't listen to anyone who even who we perceive to be haters?
Right.
Because I've heard people say that, you know, your haters can oftentimes offer you a perspective that you might have not, you know, recognized otherwise.
Right? Fantastic.
So how do we take haters and give them their due without obviously becoming, you know, our CEOs?
Fantastic. So what we do is we divide the people in our lives into three categories. Those people that will always love us, those people that will always hate us, and those people that are for the most part neutral. We call this 80-10-10. So the 10 people that always love us, you can like screw up your life, become like a drug addict, you know, a prostitute, whatever you want. These people will still love you.
It's our mothers, pretty much.
Pretty much your mothers and, you know, some
maybe
other.
Maybe your dad. Yeah, your dad's probably on the verge of disowning you.
Pretty much. Yeah. But like we all have these special people that no matter how badly you've messed up, they will still love us for who we are. Okay. Second category of people are the haters, right? Mm. These people, no matter how amazing of an achievement you will achieve in life, become president of a country, you know, win the Nobel Peace Prize, they're like, yeah, but you still have that spot on your face that makes you look ugly.
That's probably my dad, actually. now that I think about it, it's split evenly between the two.
It's a disease that we have. Like, we love to over-criticize.
Right.
And then you have 80% of people that are genuinely neutral. That when you do good, they will give you constructive feedback as to how amazing you were. When you do bad, they will give you constructive criticism that, look, you messed up. This is what you should do instead. Now, all of these three people have their rules. The people that love you in any situation, these are the people that you turn to when you're actually feeling down about yourself. You're lacking self-confidence. You go to these people, speak to them, interact with them. You boost your confidence up, and then you put these people to the side for a short period of time. Mm. Your critics, these are the people that you go to when you notice your ego is getting too big. You're like, mashallah, you've been on a hot streak of achievements. You're like, I'm the best thing that happened since like sliced bread or something. You go to your critics to humble yourself. You have 1,000 flaws. You're just blind to them. You don't see
that. That's my wife, now that I think about it. Wives are good at that, putting you back into perspective.
And then you have, you know, the other 80% of people where, again, these are the genuine people who will give you valuable, you know, critique on what you're doing.
Right.
And that's, you know, this is how we divide people into these three categories. Mm.
So just going back to your 5 points, I think you're at number 4.
Correct. So we talked about making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we talked about having a support system.
Right.
Now, the last thing that's important over here is your source of motivation. And by source of motivation, it's very different from sense of urgency. It's very different from purpose. Source of motivation over here is, where are you getting your inspiration from? Like, what is it that when you're down will encourage you to keep going? And again, going back to the story of Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him over here, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي, that I have created you for no other reason except for myself, to fulfill my mission. When scholars comment on this verse, they've extracted three lessons from it. Number one is the importance of sincerity, that anything that you do in life needs to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. And the more you focus on sincerity, the more easier Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes your task. And that is why some of the predecessors, they used to say, طَلَبْنَا الْعِلْمَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَأَبَى الْعِلْمُ وَيُطْلَبْ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that, you know, in our early stages, we sought knowledge for the sake of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but knowledge refused to be sought for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. Meaning that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created goodness or ultimate goodness in this world is that if it's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not going to achieve ultimate goodness. By ultimate goodness, we mean success in this life and the hereafter. Both of them have to go in hand.
Right.
The first key to that is sincerity. Right. The second lesson they derived from this verse is that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there for you if this task is meant to be yours. Mm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not create Musa alayhi salam to fail against Fir'aun. Right? And we see this in the story of Musa and Fir'aun, that, you know, Fir'aun's army is chasing him to the Red Sea. The Red Sea is in front of them. The people are like, what are we going to do? Fir'aun is going to kill us right now. He's going to destroy us. Mm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala parted the seas for them. Musa and his people crossed through, and Fir'aun and his army drowned. Mm. So many lessons in that. For Allah, nothing is impossible. When you're sincere, when you're doing a good cause, mm-hmm. right, then inshallah you will fulfill that mission. And Allah will even make the impossible possible. Mm-hmm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also end up killing evil at the same time. Giving victory to good, destroying evil. That's, you know, something to remind us and to motivate us as well. The third lesson they mentioned over here is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created you for myself, I created you to follow the laws that I created. Meaning that you have to live your life according to the regulations of Islam. You can't try to take shortcuts by cheating. You can't, you know, just constantly fill into your desires in a haram way. Mm. You have to live by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is like a beautiful lesson from the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He used to tell his army before they used to go out, fear your sins more than you fear your enemy. Because your enemy can only destroy your dunya, whereas your sins will destroy your dunya and your akhirah. So when you're not, you know, you're trying to minimize the sins in your life, that's what's going to happen. Your dunya and your akhirah is going to be destroyed. Mm. So that motivation needs to come from that, hey, as long as I'm, you know, trying my best and I'm living according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, inshallah, I will succeed. Mm.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh, for giving us your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow your legacy to be one of greatness, and Allahumma may it be ameen. Something that you'll be proud of on the Day of Judgment, Allahumma as well ameen. As all of us and you watching at home as well. Inshallah, you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you again on another episode of Hangout. This is Brother Bona Muhammad signing off. Jazakallah khair for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي